There we go. Now it's... Now mine's not working. What the hell?
Uh-huh.
I had it working. Oh.
What'd you do?
Mute.
There we go.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Street PX, a street photography podcast. My name is Ari Casper. Okay.
And I'm Jim Watkins. We're two Bay Area street photographers striving, just like you, to learn more, shoot more, and capture the very best our streets have to offer. You're listening to episode one, so be kind as we trip and stumble and know that we can only get better from here. Through Street PX, we aim to showcase up-and-coming street photographers from not only the local Bay Area, but from wherever we can find them. So here we go at episode number one, and welcome to Street PX.
Talk topics, you know, just basic bullshitting.
Find out what everybody else is thinking.
Exactly.
You know, that only helps us all.
The format that we're going to have is probably not going to be very usual. It's just going to be us chatting, discussing whatever we feel like comes to mind.
And you know what I'm looking for is not only finding out what we're thinking about, but what everybody else is thinking about, especially when we bring on guests. To talk to them, to pick their brains, and see what they think about street photography, and see if it resonates across the spectrum of photographers and listeners out there that also are into street photography or any kind of photography, really, any genre.
And that's going to be our biggest focus.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do with this podcast is get others on the show. You're going to hear us talking and bantering on and on, but it's you out there who we want to hear. You know, we're just going to be the background, and we want you guys to talk and reach out and tell us your story. So with this episode, we're just going to touch on some small topics that we think are the most maybe not the most important, but what we think are very important to street photography, and just to kind of kick this off, inspiration being one of them. What it is that inspires us to shoot, what it is that inspires us to actually get out on the street, and what changed our mentality on going from whatever photography we were doing. In my case, I started out in landscape. I'm sure with you did kind of with intent, at least.
Yes, with intent, yes. And I did the same way. I started out with landscape, and eventually I kind of fell into street photography by accident. I mentioned I had done it before. Originally in Paris, started out just documenting that I was there in Paris, but wound up, looking back now, doing street photography. But I ended up doing landscapes and travel photography, doing shows in Chicago, in the Chicago area.
Did you do a number of shows in Chicago?
Yeah. Yes.
How many shows did you end up in?
I probably did, and these were like coffee house shows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, show. That's where I started at, too. Yeah.
But I did at a place called Espresso Pacifico in downtown Chicago, and then up in Winnetka. And I did all my travel stuff. You know, I went over to Europe, did 3 weeks in Europe, and then I would come back every year and do a show.
Now, when did you do these shows? Like, when was your first one?
Mid-90s. Probably about 95, 96.
Group show or?
No, just me.
Just you?
Just me.
Oh,
yeah.
So you came out swinging.
Oh, yeah. I came out swinging. I came out thinking I was all the big stuff, you know.
Now, this wasn't street photography.
This was
fine art, travel work.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff that people would hang on their walls and wish they were there.
That's
the kind of thing
I was doing.
Sales. Yeah, exactly. That's what puts the bread and butter on the table.
Yeah.
But back in 2000, I got caught up in a project that the city of Chicago was running. It was called City in the Year 2000, or Chicago in the Year 2000. And they just want to document what they, you know, the city as it goes through the millennium, you know, as the turn of the century. And somebody saw me there looking at the exhibition and asked me to join the project. I joined the project, you know, never really doing street photography with purpose before,
But I got the opportunity to shoot my old neighborhood.
Shooting those disposable cameras in Paris, well, right?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. But I went into my old neighborhood that I hadn't been to for 25 years.
What neighborhood was that?
That was Woodlawn. Woodlawn on the south side of Chicago.
And that's where you were born and raised? Or
I was actually born somewhere else, on another side of town. Mm-hmm. But I was pretty much raised in the Woodlawn area. And I was absolutely fascinated by not only the changes, but the people, mm-hmm. and how they were different. Mm-hmm. And I just started snapping away and just got hooked and been doing it ever since.
I know it's kind of maybe cliche to say or whatever the case may be, but with street photography, the people are what draw you in.
Yes.
A tree is a tree, and as interesting as it may be, people are ever changing, mm-hmm. and you're never going to run into the same character twice.
Right.
And I think the canvas that street photography allows for is extensive and endless. I think that's what the biggest inspiration for me is. And like you were saying with the shows that you do, having the ability to be able to print work. And who was it that brought you into that particular show in 2000?
His name was Rich Cahan,
uh-huh.
who's actually still active in
photography.
Yeah, he's still going in photography.
Is he in Chicago still?
Yeah, he's still in Chicago as far as I know, yeah.
Okay. Now, mind you, we're in the Bay Area here, so one of the big benefits is you can kind of shoot year-round. And I'll be honest, that was one of the primary reasons whenever I decided to make my transition from Chicago out here. That was a big aspect.
Oh, yes.
Being able to go out at any time of the year,
yeah,
mm-hmm. January, and you want to shoot,
yeah,
you can. I mean, you can in Chicago too.
Yeah, but of course, you have -20 degrees,
yeah,
20 below, and your camera is at risk at 20 below zero.
Yeah, I don't want to battle myself, so I love the Bay, and coming out this way gives that comfortable walk.
Yes.
So now you were talking about the inspiration that you were getting from, Brisson and Kappa and Franck, and as far as what's drawing you into an image, is it composition? Is it the technique that they're using? What is it that draws you into their images?
Well, what draws me into their images is they give me a sense of place. Mm-hmm. They make you feel like you're an observer, because I talked before about being an observational photographer. I feel like I'm an observer in the scene. I feel like I'm right there next to the photographer watching the scene. And to me, that's extremely important. That's what I try to do, even with my architectural photography, even with my landscape photography. I try to give this sense of place. Mm-hmm. And the biggest compliment that I get from people, that the one that makes me the happiest, is when they say that they feel like they're there.
Yeah.
And that to me is what I'm striving for. And that's what I get from Brisson and Kappa and Franck.
And that's what you're trying to strive for in your own imagery.
That's
when you're going
exactly
to the street.
Not necessarily trying to emulate them, but I wanted that concept, mm-hmm. of sense of place. That's what I want. That's what I'm trying to capture.
I kind of see it the same way, and like the Mission District, for instance, when you were in there here recently, it's a gritty area. It's a rough area, but with that, your camera and your feet, you can try and use tools that you have to create an image that is going to show anyone looking at it that's either from the area that knows it, or from Chicago or New York or even rural areas, seeing your work, it gives them an opportunity to see into the eyes of you as the photographer and seeing what you're seeing. Like blah blah blah. Time out.
That's all right. This is hard, man.
This is hard. Sorry, my mind just went blank.
I can totally understand.
So from that inspiration, from those shows, you say you had the first one in 2000, is that right? Or 90s?
The mid-90s.
Yeah, in the mid-90s, and that was at the coffee shop.
Right.
See, I had me one of those at Caribou Coffee in Chicago. That was my first gallery show. That was I came into this well after.
Yeah.
2011,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
A friend of mine actually was working at a coffee shop as a barista downtown. It was Caribou Coffee. I forget the address, but it was at the base of one of the main buildings where there's a big financial district.
Gotcha.
Area. And it was brilliant because you don't really need to have a gallery show in a gallery.
Right.
It doesn't really work that way, mm-hmm. I notice, as much as you think it does.
Yes, yes.
Before you do your first show, you have these illusions of what a gallery is going to be.
Yes.
And it's all Hollywood and what it's going to seem like.
Yes.
But it's the best ones are the little ones, the isolated ones, the coffee shop mm-hmm. galleries. And that was my first and probably one of my favorites because I just put it out there. I brought my work in, put it on the wall, and I left it.
Was it landscape?
Landscapes.
Okay.
Yeah, actually a lot of landscapes. I have one image, I have a Chicago image that is kind of a big sweeping cityscape,
mm-hmm.
and that seemed to be the one that had the most resonance
okay.
amongst. And like you said a while ago, these are the ones that sell.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Street yep. photography is more of a passion
mm-hmm.
And more for projects and more for, at least in my opinion, I think having the ability to put my stuff on the wall in that case lit my fire.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm sure it probably
did. Oh, yes, it did. Very much so.
Yeah, so the first one you had in the 90s, then you had in the 2000s for the Millennium Project. Did you do a show for that one? Was that downtown as well in a shop? Or?
Yeah, it was downtown, but it wasn't a one-man show. This was part of the project.
Massive group.
Yeah, so it was a massive group, and I did have a couple of pieces in Water Tower,
mm-hmm.
You know, just with along with everybody else. So, we got to archive. All the stuff got archived into the Chicago History Museum.
Really?
Yes. So I have, they picked out a few pieces from the project and archived them, and I got, I think, two pieces.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, two street pieces. So
can that still be seen today, or
they, well, you know,
dig a little bit?
When I say they keep it in the archives, that means they keep
true
it
on
in
archives.
The basement. So I don't know if it's ever seen, if it'll ever see the light of day on the walls of the Chicago Historical Society, but
it's
who
there.
Knows? It's there.
It's a point to history. It's historical fact.
Exactly.
Now,
yes.
And you know, it's one little thing that you can hang on your wall.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
As a medal, I mean, you can hang it on your wall as well as a piece.
But now, let me ask you this: yeah. How did you make the transition? What caused you to make the transition from landscapes? How did you get into street?
When I was in Chicago, still, that's when I originally went into photography with intent.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing cityscapes. I was walking the streets and taking pictures of architecture, and I just happened to turn my camera on some people and just started shooting people as they were doing their thing. I think I had witnessed an event happening. Somebody had done something silly. It was, as we all see with a character in
oh,
the street,
yeah. Yes.
They just do something, and you find yourself wanting to capture that. That's what happened, and as soon as I captured that situation, my perspective changed. And I started looking for other ones who are doing something silly or,
yeah.
you know, just standing in an awkward way. Or I ran across a few scenes that seemed like something that reminded me out of a movie,
uh-huh.
You know, cinematic type of approaches,
yeah.
The way somebody was dressed or the way they were walking or the way they were interacting.
Uh-huh.
And so my first bit of shooting was capturing these shots because they reminded me of things I've already seen.
Ah, okay.
And as I shot more people and more people, I just found them as a subject that is raw, without any type of setup. I know there are street photographers that talk to their subjects
right,
and so forth,
yep.
and I can't. Like, for me, I think that doesn't mess it up. I don't think it messes anything up. I think it takes something away from it.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I want to capture people doing their everyday duties, their everyday actions, whatever they're doing, and from the point they leave home to work or to the store, everybody has something going on. And mm-hmm. if I can put an image to that and try mm-hmm. and bring out an emotion and just show... I think everybody looks at the world when you're walking the street and you don't pay attention to other people.
Yes, yeah.
And everyone becomes just another face in the crowd.
Right.
Through street photography, I found an opportunity to isolate those individual people and for even a fleeting moment, make them the star
mm-hmm.
of a scene.
Yeah.
and having the ability with a camera in the hand to create somebody or make somebody a star for even a moment was just awesome to me.
Huh.
And so when I'd go out and I'd come home with 10 or 15 shots that were worth, you know, showing to somebody and not being completely embarrassed by them,
yeah.
It gave me a chance to have 10 or 15 subjects that are now the stars of these moments,
mm-hmm.
and of their own little movie, their own little story.
Yeah.
And because a good street image is going, you're going to, as a viewer, you're going to apply your own story to it.
Right.
And that's what I found street photography to be to me. And at that moment when I realized it, everything else went out the door.
Ah, okay. All right. So now who are your inspirations?
For me, it kind of varied. I started going online and looking up other photographers. Funny enough, I was seeing more of the local photographers.
Mm.
I didn't actually start noticing the classics or the legends, so to speak, until later. But the Chicago Photographic Society was a big factor in that,
because
I noticed there was when that group and would get together and I started coming and joining with them, a lot of them were street photographers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess you shoot what's near and what's there.
Right.
And street photography, I guess, was, or the street itself, was a easily accessible canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as time progressed, I come from a background in fine arts. So oil paints and graphite and ink work. So most of mine was hand applied. So Salvador Dali and Van Gogh and all of your legends in that type of art inspired into my photography. You know, I'm not necessarily finding any melting clocks anywhere with four eyes, but...
Oh, I wish you would.
But, right, yeah, yeah. No, but looking for geometric shapes, looking for composition, looking for texture,
mm-hmm.
I think is what really helped me build my photography from that point.
Okay.
And then I got to learning about Henri Cartier-Bresson, Gildan, Winograd, a lot of these guys that just really define street photography for what I it matched with what I thought street photography was. So with these guys, I took my background inspired from them and kind of created my own style as best I could, or at least I didn't create my own style. That just kind of happens.
Yeah. I know. That's right. And it's interesting. Yeah. Just to let you guys know, both of us are from Chicago and we shot Chicago at about the same time, but we never knew each other.
Nope.
Until we got out here. and that was interesting
because
we had all the same friends, you know, the same fellow photographers and
shot with the same people.
Yeah. Shot with the same people because,
it just never happened to be in the same walking group.
Exactly. And, you know, and you mentioned some of the Chicago photographers. I know Jason Martini, Brian Sokolowski. There were, you know, those great street photographers,
mm-hmm.
who I used to love looking at. You know, I tried. They had different approaches than mm-hmm. I did. You know, they were more... You know, Brian was totally in your face with his photography. he was got out there and he put that camera on the nose of somebody and got the picture.
Brilliantly.
Just some great photography. Jason Martini, he stepped back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but
he was a mobile guy for a while.
Yeah.
He really made that iPhone sing.
Exactly. I mean, the guy is fantastic. The guy is really fantastic. And I love watching. I also belong to a photography group called the Chicago Alliance of African American Photographers.
Is that here? Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. And they were also inspirational. And you know, because one of them was a Pulitzer Prize winner, John H. White. And he was, I mean, won a Pulitzer Prize. He was part of that group. Bob Black, Foster Garvin, a lot of guys who just inspired me into, you know, in street photography. So those were some of the local people. And also, you know, because I'm a history buff, so I went into, I looked at a lot of books. Henri Cartier-Bresson, Robert Capa, Robert Franck, all these guys just—they just really inspired me. I looked at their work, and you know, I figured out, you know, I'm not going to be able to, of course, not going to be able to do what they do, but I can at least try. Mm-hmm. I can at least strive to get somewhere mm-hmm. in that direction. And
that's how you start. You got to have the bravery to know, okay, I'm not there. But you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you get the realization, you know. And when I started, oh God, I'm almost embarrassed to tell this, but I started out in my street photography, and I thought that I could show at the Cultural Center, the Chicago Cultural Center. I remember going to the
ambitious sir.
Oh my God! But I remember going with my little portfolio to the Chicago Cultural Center and presented it, and I said, "This is what I do. Can I show it?" At you know, and they said, "Why don't you leave that here?" And of course, I'm sure after I left, they were cracking up.
Look at this. Yeah, just leave that with us. We'll take a look. Sure, yeah, we'll call you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, how about you know, we're booked up for 30 years now. You know, maybe we can come back then. But you know, it's just one of those things. You know, you have this kind of this sense of self-importance that as you mature, you realize, mm-hmm. you know, you got a long way to go.
Now, so. Have you tried to reapproach them in recent
times?
No,
oh, heck no. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too embarrassed to go. I would be too. They probably forgot who I am anyway, so maybe one day.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they forgot about that original, ambitious run right out of the gate.
That's what I'm hoping.
And then come back and go, you know, hey, I'm new to town.
But see, now, you know, now I have that fear that, you know, going into the, you know, that.
Well, actually, that brings us to a good point. Fear. Fear is a dastardly four-letter word in this genre. That goes for new people picking up the camera and jumping into the street and those that have been doing it for years. You've been doing it for 20-plus years. I've been doing street photography myself for 5-plus thereabouts, which, you know, that's a good amount of time to be shooting. And a lot of people, I've had people ask, you know, about, you know, do you ever get brave enough to jump in somebody's face or, you know, and it all comes down to a couple of things. In my opinion, style is one, mm-hmm. you know, somebody like what you're talking about, Brian Soko, he's the kind that's more in your face and more, how would you put it? Brave would be one word, but he does it well. And that's his style. Mm-hmm. And for him, his ability to get in there closer like that is specific to him. That's not necessary for everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in the face. You also alluded to Martini's, you know, a little bit more distant, and a number of the other photographers that we know and appreciate greatly from the groups. They have distances that they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily about overcoming a fear, both in shooting and in showing.
Yes. Yeah, oh yes.
Because both of these are fears that are legitimate, because a lot of us think either A, we go out there fully ambitious and put our stuff out there and, hey, mm-hmm. you know, show this, and those receiving it are like, yeah, that's good. It would come back and talk to me in a good year or two, you know? And I caught that myself on a number of occasions.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Funny enough, the showing of it wasn't actually the part that was fearful for me. It was actually having the balls to actually walk out in the street and take a picture of somebody.
Yeah.
I swore when I first started doing this, somebody's about to punch me in the face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And while that is always a possibility, you could also be mauled by a bear when taking a landscape shot.
That's right.
So danger is going to be implicit of whatever you're doing. And fear is always going to be there. I mean, wouldn't you say,
definitely.
You still have the fear.
No, yes. You never truly overcome. Maybe Brian Soko did, but you never truly overcome the fear. You know, it's working around it.
Yeah.
You know, finding a workaround. I would, you know, I do hip shooting. I do,
Yep.
And, you know, I'll sit back and wait, you know, just kind of blend into the background and get my shot as somebody's coming by. You know, there are ways to work around the fear, mm-hmm. but most of us never get over the fear.
No.
We have a healthy dose of caution. I mean, we may become less fearful, but we still have that healthy dose of fear.
Well, it also helps you.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
That is a big part of why I like street photography is because you get that panic mode, and it's like fuel. It just kind of re-engages your engine, you know, takes you up a level and makes you want to continue doing it.
The adrenaline rush, man, I tell you. Yeah. It's nothing like it.
Now, from the fear, and a legitimate part is having an unruly subject. Mm-hmm. If you've been doing it for a while, its chances are very likely you've dealt with one of these, you know, situations where somebody is not wanting their picture taken. Maybe they weren't even the point or the focus of your shot.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, you know, where somebody's going to come at you, confront you. Most of the time, it's going to be just verbal. It's just going to be somebody wanting to vent and scream and yell, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also have physical situations, too. I mean, I'm sure you've had situations like... Have you had any type of altercations?
Never physical, mm-hmm. but I have had one where somebody was screaming at me, and he wasn't the subject. The camera wasn't even pointing in his direction. And this was in San Francisco, and he came at me, and he started yelling at me about taking his picture, and I got pissed off, and I started yelling back. And so we were just going back and forth.
Rights
yeah,
moment.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I said, you know, how dare he? You know, I'm an artist, you know. but anyway, so we started going back and forth, and then he walked away. And then I was so mad that I started following him. And I want to keep this up. I want to get back, you know, until I just said, wait a minute, Jim, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, just walk away and get back. So I kind of calmed down and I went back to what I was doing. But I think that's the only time that anybody has, I've had that kind of situation.
It is very easy to kind of. To when that situation happens, everything's happening very quickly.
Yes.
And the situation is escalating very quickly. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it's hard to keep up with it. So you kind of go into autopilot mode.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some people, myself included, it's very easy to fall into that, you know, how dare you, you know, assault my rights, you know, and tell me I can't shoot out here when I obviously can and the legal rights are here. But it does kind of come back to a middle ground, too, mm-hmm. you know, where you ask yourself, hey, Jim, what am I doing? You know, because when you're doing that, that could be escalating the situation.
Yes.
And it all depends on who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
We had a group here recently go into San Francisco, the Mission District. And there was a handful of us. Unfortunately, Jim was off the beaten path and not here for this event. Prepped well for good or for bad. But it was a similar situation where we had one of our fellow shooters was taking the picture of one subject, and this unruly customer happened to be behind them. And in the process of that, they thought that their picture was being taken. And for me, I will delete a picture if somebody asks me politely and says, hey, can you not take my picture? Or can you delete that? Sure, I'll delete it. Mm-hmm. What have you. I can find another subject somewhere else. It's picture is worth not a physical issue, physical assault, getting hurt. And B, if the person doesn't want it, then so be it.
Yeah.
You know, you also got to be polite.
Right. Exactly.
Most of the time. If the picture's awesome, then, hey, you still have your right to keep it.
Yeah.
But in this case, she completely avoided the niceties and went straight into just complete belligerence. She stalked this our fellow photographer back to the group, very malice intent, and even attacked one of our other group. Like, once she started putting up a scene, everyone's camera just kind of turned and directed on her, which is kind of the nature of things. You scream and yell about not wanting your picture taken, then all of a sudden now you are the subject of a lot of things.
Yep.
Maybe not even us. There's a lot of other people around that's now witnessing.
Yes, that's right.
Well, in the process, she slapped away one photographer's camera, and at that point, autopilot kicked in. My photographer's rights is, you know, mentality jumped in, and I jumped right into mode, clicking pictures away, and you know, not making the situation any better.
But you got some good pictures from there. I saw those.
Full admittance. I feel I did get some good shots from that. But at the same time, I'm sure I could have approached that a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so pissed off at somebody sitting there screaming, yelling, you know, and assaulting one of my friends, you know, smacking his camera away. So at that point, when that happened, now all the rules are out.
Yes, that's right.
Now I'm going to take every picture and the rest of my memory card with you know, your face on it. And, you know, she actually at one point she swung her coat at me, which for me, I'm standing my ground. So I'm like, okay, hit me with it. It's a coat, whatever. So I catch it. It's just reactionary, but I held it. Uh-huh. And now I'm like still got my camera in my hand, and I'm probably glad that I caught it too, because thinking back on it, there was actually something hard in there, which kind of brings me back to sometimes it ain't worth pursuing because you can get hurt.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
And depending on what was in that coat and what she was swinging at me, could have hurt me.
Yes.
You know, because at first you think, why is somebody going to walk away, pick up a coat, and use that and bring that back as a weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I realized afterward that there was something in it. But these kind of things can happen if the situations escalate.
Yes.
And that also boils back to the fear and knowing things like that are going to happen anywhere.
Yes,
and
that's
whatever
right.
you're doing, there's always a risk.
Right, so you just have to be careful. Whatever, you know, there is a healthy dose of fear that keeps you safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so you know you just
listen to that.
Exactly, deal with it. You know, and just be careful out there when you're shooting.
You do not mm-hmm. have to be the one that can jump. You know, and there's also a bit of respect too that you have.
Right,
to have.
Exactly.
Because while they are your subjects, and while you have a right to shoot the people in the street, you also have a bit of respect for it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And whenever I see there are certain photographers I see jump out from behind a corner or it's a startle approach.
Right, yeah.
And I can respect what you get out of that. I'm not going to be one that does this.
It's not your style.
No. And I'm not going to condemn it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. But I think to a point, that respect comes in for your subject. And if it's, you know, a little old lady coming along the corner and, you know, she's post 80 years old and she's trying to have a good day, and then somebody leaps out and, you know, almost gives
right.
her a heart
yeah.
attack.
Yeah.
Is that worth the picture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's on the other side of the coin. That's somebody who's completely gotten around that fear.
That's right.
They're
gone into crazy now.
Yeah, they've gotten into the point where they have full ability to be right up in your face. And you know, good on them for being able to do that, but I think there is much to be said about it.
And there's I do have a friend who was just like that, who never had done street photography, and who all of a sudden
leapt into it.
Quite
literally.
Both feet.
Yeah.
And just started jumping in, mm-hmm. you know, in front of people, causing scenes.
Creating the scene.
He created the scene.
That's, I think, is this.
I'm not mentioning a name.
No. It's not that fact.
He got good shots. He got some really mm-hmm. good, interesting shots. But I just couldn't take that leap.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't take that leap.
Does he shoot with flash or no flash?
No flash.
See, that's another layer of
uh-huh.
that for me, I've been shooting for a while, and I cannot bring myself to use flash.
I can't either. That's not me.
It's one of those things that I try to shoot and have them looking past me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to fade into the background.
Yes.
I want to be just another face in a crowd and make them the star.
Yeah.
When I'm shooting a flash, I just feel like I am just announcing myself.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I see work that's done with a flash, off-camera flash,
yeah.
that is impressive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Will Gildan is a perfect example of somebody
yeah.
who does that brilliantly.
Yes.
But that's a style that's beyond my abilities, at least at this point. Maybe someday.
Yeah, but you might start doing that one
yeah,
day.
Maybe.
You know?
And that's the glory of this, is trying different things, getting past, you know, your reservations and the limitations that you put on yourself. Because
right.
when it comes to photography, most of it is a limitation. Most of the limitations are what you put on yourself.
That's right.
And you can always overcome, or at least attempt to overcome. Gear is just a tool. A camera is just a tool. Now, that's not to say that a faster flash or a, you know, the difference between the disposable cameras you were using in Paris 20 plus years ago to what we're doing today, obviously, there's a difference.
Yes.
But those limitations can be overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And the only ones that are going to keep you down are things like your fear. You know, that's something that's going to keep you from doing what you want to do. So you got to understand and know and just find a workaround.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which actually, talking about style, talking about developing a style, it brings us to another topic we want to talk about is black and white versus color debate. Always a fun one.
That's right.
Always a fun
always,
one to hear.
Because
everyone's got an opinion about this. I mean, what would you say? How would you start?
Well, my opinion on this, where I stand, is either way, you can have effective street photography either way. It just depends. Now, I used to be of the mind that street photography was only black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Only black and white.
I mean, I thought that too when
I first
started.
You look at it, you know, black and white tells a story, which it does. You know, it tells a story and I was just of that mindset.
Timeless thing.
Exactly. But I found out that sometimes color is the story.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where you could take a photograph, or where you see a photograph, you see a scene, and it's the color in the scene that where you focus your attention that brought you that image. That's the subject. So why hide it in black and white? You know, shoot it in color. You know, you may do things like what I like to do with my color shots, and I don't take that many, but I do it sometimes. I like to desaturate the color a little bit, not to make it black and white, but
draw it down a bit.
Yeah, draw it down a bit.
Nice -15
slider. Yeah, something like that. And to me, that gives it more of a timeless feel than
doing that a lot myself here recently.
Is that right? Yeah,
it's... Because I'm the same way. Color, I always thought, or at least black and white, I always thought, though, this is street photography. This is all I know. But because most of the legends that you had witnessed in your books and stuff were limited by what they were able to do. And color film production is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Printing, rather.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the path of least resistance is going to be black and white when it comes to film.
Right.
Now that we have digital, we have the options here, I still find myself kind of hanging between mostly black and white, but still doing some color because I feel that with certain images, color pops.
Yes.
We talked about this one time before, redheads.
Right, yep,
as
redheads.
Perfect, you know, subject because make it pop.
Yes.
But then there's other times when the colors, as a layer of your composition, can become noisy. It complicates it.
Right.
And sometimes that can take away from the subject that you want.
Yes.
And for me, I think what you were just saying, desaturating it just a little bit can bridge that gap.
Yes, it does. It does. And to me, that gives it as much of a timeless feel as black and white. Because if you look at some of the old, I just recently saw some old pictures from the 1950s San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They're color, but they're the faded, desaturated color. And it gives you that. You know, it gives you that kind of Dashiell Hammett. You know, look. You know that period of San Francisco.
Good name drop.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I tell you, you know, but it gives you that look. One of the subjects that I really like to do, and this may, you know, in street photography or maybe even not street photography, the street cars, the old street cars that run down Market Street in San Francisco. All you San Francisco Bay Area people know about this, but if you desaturate, if you take a picture of one of those and desaturate the color, you're back in the 50s. You are back in the 50s. Just depending on what's around it, you can what the background is. Maybe you can darken the background.
Now, I hope that most of those weren't built in the 50s.
I don't know.
If that's the case, then it makes a whole different approach when you're riding on one of them.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's but desaturating the color gives to me gives it a timeless feel as much or even more so than a black and white image.
I think one of the reasons why I find myself leaning toward black and white so much more than color is I look for high contrast in my images. I'm trying to split a contrast between your black and white, the grays in the middle, to emphasize texture. I love getting a shot on the side, like some of the buildings down in San Francisco. Chicago's got a lot of this. Is the way that the rock and the sunlight hits the rock, and it really kind of develops something that you feel like you can reach out and touch.
Yes.
Snozzberries smell like snozzberry or taste like snozzberry, whatever. It's the Willy Wonka thing. It's go for the wall. And that's what I think. That's why I like black and white so much, because I'm looking for touchability. And if I wanted an image to look sharp, to look rough or something like that, I think whenever I take away the color and I punch the contrast, that black and white, I can focus in and isolate on a subject with a textile approach to the image. Well, not literally, but more figuratively or more visually from it. But with color, though, when you have an image, when you have color, it gives that extra layer of a composition that you can do with. For instance, I did one here recently that I didn't notice it until after I got home, that the way that the gentleman was dressed, he had really popping blues and reds in his get up, but I happened to catch him against a piece of graffiti that swooped up and off from his leg.
Okay.
And the way that it matched with him, and it just kind of rolled through the image. If I was to take that color out, then you lose that layer of composition. And even if you desaturate it, see, this is another thing is when you're talking about really popping a color, is you even lose it, because that is a big factor of that image. And to remove it, it just becomes kind of meh.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Yeah.
So I think I truly look at color as a tool, no different than, you know, the textures on the walls, the subject that you're taking.
Yeah.
And it's just, I find it to be a more difficult one to work with.
Yeah, I agree.
I see a lot of photographers got leaning toward more color. Ones that I had seen in the past that were diligently black and white, and their whole works, everything you look through their history is black and white.
Yeah.
But more and more color is starting to come into the play.
Yeah, yeah. And I fall into that category, too. I have to admit.
You and me both.
Yeah.
Now, you got it kind of going on from the, or coming off of this and talking about the group shooting. We were talking about your Chicago. What was the Chicago group that you're talking about that you did?
Oh, the Chicago Alliance of African American Photographers. Yeah.
And so when you were shooting and part of that group, and when you were with Chicago Photographic Society, and you know these various groups out here in San Francisco, do you seem like that kind of person that's more isolated?
Yes.
You know, a loner.
Yes. It depends on the purpose of the shoot.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in the Mission District, and we're shooting, you know, we're shooting raw street photography. I basically have to do it alone.
Yeah.
You know, because I sit, I'm a loiterer at times, you know, when I want to be, I'm a searcher if I want to be. So, and it just depends on the situation.
Yeah.
So, if I see light, I'm going to sit. Who's going to sit with me? You know, somebody else wants to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait and I'm going to see what's happening. Or I like I said, I might just get up and start walking and see what's happening, you know, just go around. So I'm kind of 50-50 on that. We just did the Golden Gate, Golden Gate Park walk. I was with everybody
else. I had to work, of course.
Yeah, too bad. We missed you. We missed you, Casper. But I basically there was with everybody else, because that wasn't really a raw street thing. It was, yeah, you know,
how
was
many
more,
people would you say were there? That
we had,
peak?
I think we had about 9 or 10.
Nine or ten people.
Nine or ten.
So having 9 or 10 people, but this is, you said you were going to say Golden Gate.
Golden Gate.
It was kind of mixed.
Yeah, it was more, it was nature and street, mm-hmm. you know, because we were doing, and we, you're in a, you're, you know, you're in a park.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you're less, you know, you're less noticed as a group.
Yeah.
Because there are a whole bunch of groups
Everyone's
out there.
In groups when it comes to park area.
So it wasn't that bad. It's more fun to, you know, it's fun to talk to people and you know, and connect. Because that's part of the thing. The part of the reason of being in a group, you're connecting. You're making all these connections.
Learning.
Exactly. You learn from each other. It's a symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. But so in that case, I love walking with the group. If we're on the street. The real street, I'm a loner.
Yeah, that's, you know. I gotta agree. Yeah. Once everybody kind of gets together, we find out where we're going after break. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, I put my hat on, I get my headphones on, and I just start walking.
Then we have a rally point 2 hours, 3 hours later, and we talk about what we did, and it's so much fun.
That right there, I think, is where a group really comes into play.
Yeah.
And where it's best, if you're a photographer and you're learning, or even if you've been doing this forever, having a group of like-minded people, a group of others that you can get information from, you can bounce ideas off of, you can show your work and have critique sessions with. I mean, these things I find are priceless,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're canvassing, you know, the crowd for information. Mm-hmm. And through that, I think it's a big benefit. And whether you're a loner like we may be, you get together, you meet up in a place, and then you sit down, have a beer, have some coffee, what have you, and talk about what you just got done doing.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, with this Golden Gate Park thing that we did, we didn't get a chance to do anything afterwards. But since we were all in a group, together walking around, there was a guy that I had never walked with. I knew him before, but I never walked with him. I got to watch him work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was doing street photography. He's one of those guys that'll walk up to his subject, talk to them, charm the pants off of them, and get them so that they're posing for a picture. You know, people.
I've seen that.
He is real. And this guy has been shooting street for 4 months.
Really?
Yeah. He has been shooting, and he has some great stuff. I hope to maybe have him on the show.
That would be an interesting person to talk to. Somebody that is willing to go out and start a discussion.
Yes. He talked to the people, and he got them to pose and got some great shots. It's posed, it's staged. It may not be strictly street photography, but it's still... You know, it's one aspect of street photography.
It takes a certain somebody to be able to go up to a stranger and just start talking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's,
that's
the difficult. That's one of the difficulties.
Yeah, and he's good at it. He's really good at it. And
somebody might have a background in sales.
That's true. That's right. That's right. So, you know, so it's things like that that, you know, I say, you know what, maybe I'll try that one time. You know,
you're building that inspiration.
Yeah, exactly.
Back off of somebody
and
else.
That's the good thing with a group dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the positive things about a group dynamic. You do learn new approaches. You know, you get the courage, you know, talking about that fear thing, you get the courage to try something new.
And I think there's a lot to be said, too, about not worrying about how, like, experience is a big factor.
Yeah.
And, but not in all of the pieces of the pie or whatever you want to say. Like, for instance, you were just saying, he's been doing it for 4 months.
Yeah.
But he has the ability to go up and talk to somebody and just a gift of gab,
yes.
so to speak.
Yes.
And from that, he's been doing it for 4 months. Now you have been doing it, you know, for years and years.
Years, yeah.
But here you are getting an inspiration, getting an idea on learning from him.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. Don't ever assume that simply because somebody just starts that they don't have anything to put forward, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because every person is going to bring something new to the table.
Exactly. You come in, you know, as an experienced street photographer, you come in with your biases and your fears and everything that have been, you know, locked into you for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's somebody who has no fear at all. you know, who doesn't know what he's getting into, doesn't know what could happen to him, and he goes in there and does it.
See, I'm impressed. I admire it. Because somebody, because that's what I found myself having to do, is like leap into something.
Yeah.
But seeing somebody else do it and them going through it, mm-hmm. especially in a 4-month time.
Yeah.
I wish I was there to be able to see him doing this. I look forward to another walk, so I want to see him.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to be hanging out with him Wednesday. So
Wednesday? Talk to him. It might be worth getting him onto the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I already told him, said, we may want you, because we want that perspective of somebody. You know. I'm sure the listeners out here, they're come from different levels of experience,
different backgrounds, different
exactly
arts.
Yeah.
Know,
yeah.
Inspiration.
So we would like to get people on here who cover cover the spectrum of the experience. You know, I would love to get people who've been shooting for 20, 30 years and people shooting for 4 months.
And now we've talked a while, for most all of this episode has just been talking about, you know, these four key points: inspiration, fear, the black and white debate, and groups. But in the future, we're going to start wanting to get your voice, get somebody that's either in our groups or in other groups in San Francisco or in the nation here that shoot photography in the street, and we want to get your perspective on why you do it, you know, what inspires you to do it, and get your story out there, and that's going to be a big factor of what this podcast has to offer. Do you have anything that you want to add as far as what we're looking, what you want to describe to the people and what we're going
to
be doing?
Well, I think to me that's the key. What you've hit the right on the head. It's all about you out there and your experiences and how you can share your experiences across, you know, to everybody. Get them comfortable with street photography and, you know, what you do, how you approach it, how we approach it. Get everybody's thoughts and opinions on this.
Plus, a big factor of this is us going to be learning what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Because we ain't got a clue. We're just a couple of shooters that picked up some mics, got fire under our ass, and said, "Hey, let's just start talking into a mic and see what happens."
Yeah,
and with that come here we are, Street PX, and. Maybe it's going to be good. Maybe you're at this point pulling your hair out. But the fact of the matter is both of us are brand new to this. We're still learning. We are a couple of shooters that picked up a couple of microphones, started talking into it, and just hoping that whatever we have to say is worth listening to. And that's why in the future we want to talk less and have people on here to talk more.
That's right, exactly.
Because we just want to know what makes you tick and why.
What drives you? I mean, I've been talking to people who use their street photography or their art, really, for advocacy, for community advocacy. Oh, I would love to have them on this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's another thing to do. You know, street photography doesn't pay the bills, basically.
No,
you
no.
know, unless you can get a good book or something. You know, it doesn't pay the bills, but if you can do something with street photography like these people are doing, and like I want to have them on the show, you know, it's something for everybody to think about.
Now, another big factor is plugging. We want you to come on here and let's hear your links. Let's hear where people can find you. Let's get the work out there. That's a good transition into this, Jim. I mean, where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm at jimwatkinsphoto.com. So they can find me there. They can find me on Facebook under Jim Watkins. Mm-hmm. And I have a Jim Watkins Photography. I have a, you know, a Facebook page there.
And the best thing is the book.
The book. I have a book out that's it's called On the Streets of the City, A Photographic Journey of San Francisco. Just published it. It will be available on Amazon soon. Maybe by the time this podcast is broadcast, it will be available on Amazon. So be on the lookout for it.
And if you're in the San Francisco area, there is a – where's the book? Where can it be found?
Yeah, right now it's at the Alexander Book Company on 2nd Street. Hmm. So check it out there. And hopefully.
Sitting up in the window too right now, right?
Oh yeah,
nice and glorious, and it's glow.
Yep.
You know, maybe we need to go buy a spotlight and just kind of put it outside the window. And
well, hopefully it'll sell.
That's why I'm talking about getting a spotlight.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
That way everything else looks dark and yours is just glistening.
Yes. So talk about where can you be found?
Well, most anything that I have online can be found at recasper.com, and that. I've got a couple of ebooks. I have a book out from a couple of years ago that I, when I transversed or and I traveled from Chicago to San Francisco, I put together just a travel book from all the sites we saw, and that can be found on Amazon. But easiest way is just finding it on my site. Few projects upcoming, but everything can be found right through recasper.com, and streetpx.com is where you can find more information about this podcast and what's to come, street walks that we'll be putting together. We were talking about groups a while ago. One of the big ones that we're involved in right now is the San Francisco Street Photographers Group. They're through Facebook. Brilliant photographers, a wealth of information, and an endless stream of gorgeous work being shown. It is a closed group, but, you know, reach out to us. We'd love to have you involved. Share your work. Come talk to us. That's probably where we're going to be getting a lot of our, pulling a lot of our upcoming interviews from.
Definitely join the photo walks.
Please do. Yeah. Yes. Join these photo walks. Get out here with us. Endure through that pain and get your work out here. But you can find more information through streetpx.com. There's a calendar on there that'll remind you of any of the walks that are coming up, whether you're in the group or not, as well as upcoming shows, upcoming artists that we're going to be showcasing, and also gallery shows that we'll be doing here soon too. One of the members of our group has pretty much went full throttle on putting together phenomenal gallery shows. One in particular she just recently had, in Oakland is Through the Lens.
Right.
It's Christy Lewis.
Christy Lewis,
yep.
That's right.
A photographer that has an endless love of exactly what we want to do here is uplifting other photographers and getting their work out there. And you can find her work at K. Lewis Photo Ventures. That is K. Lewis Photo Ventures on Instagram. And if you do just a search for Through the Lens on Facebook, you'll find some information about the event that she did there on the 29th and with more to come. So with that, some plugging, some talking, some things, talking about other things, I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and The end. Damn it. Screw it, I'm not looking at that no more. How would you close? Anyway. Thank you.